Most of all, thank the Lord for his anointed. You know, I found out the older I get, the more simple things become. God anoints those things that are anointable. And if he sees to put his blessing on it, he'll just go ahead and do it. He's done it tonight in the song service. We bless his name. We're so honored tonight to have our son, Darren Walter, pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. He's going to be preaching tonight, Monday through Friday, Lord willing. So pray much. Darren, you can preach to us.
It is good to be home with you at Fletcher, and we count it a privilege to have the opportunity to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you all. Brother Randy, thank you for the songs that the Lord laid on your heart and you followed through in obedience. I appreciate that. And this trio that just sang, glory to God, I was just sitting there thanking the Lord for little Carly. Just thinking about this time a year ago, you know, and then you're up here singing, praising him. Ain't God good? Man, he's good. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm interested in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. I do realize that the world in which we now live, this COVID thing has changed every single thing that we're doing nowadays, and we have seen numerous revivals canceled over the course of last spring and this summer, and even as we head into the fall. And there are a few folks that are saying, nope, we're still having revival. We're still going to church. I've got some brother pastors that their churches have basically folded and shut down. I see some of the churches back home that are 20% of what they once were in attendance on Sunday morning. And so you really ought to appreciate your pastor, because he's been under, it's already a tremendous strain to preach Sunday in through Sunday the next and try to lead God's people and discern God's message and follow through with God's will and be an example and try to encourage your people, but then to have the pressure of you can't please your people. It's all the time. And he doesn't say a word about it, but I guarantee you, he just stands anyway on what God tells him to do. And you've been a shining example for me. And I thank you. And I love you. You've been my pastor for 54 years. That's a long time. Amen. Say, Preacher Darren. Yeah, you figure that out. Amen. Have you found 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Would you stand to your feet? I want to begin reading in verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. May I stop and reread that last phrase in that verse 18? We look around at the world in which we see and we're most discouraged. The churches that I've been allowed to go to and preach at, including my own, our heads are down. We see the news and we're discouraged absolutely to death. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This thing is right exactly on God's timetable. And no, he did not need to ask your or my permission. And I praise him for what he's doing. In verse number 7, there is a phrase that God has burdened my heart with. It is saying, the treasure in earthen vessels. You are an earthen vessel, and God has saved you, and the Holy Ghost lives inside you, and there is treasure in the earthen vessel. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Father, would you have your will and your way in the service tonight? God, you saved us. Would you help us tonight, God? You've called us to preach. You've given us a thought, a message, I believe. God, would you help us to be faithful to declare what thus saith the Lord? And God, you do it to feed and encourage your people. Thank you for these that have gathered here tonight. Thank you for these who are tuning in online to have encouragement tonight, Lord. May there be treasure in the earthen vessels. And I ask your blessing in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. There was a sheriff, I won't say what county that he's from, but he was hiring some deputies. And as he was interviewing candidates for deputies, one of the young men was academically challenged. And the sheriff asked him, upon picking up on this, he said, son, what is one and one? And the boy thought for a minute and he said, 11. He said, okay. Son, there are 2 days of the week that start with the letter T. Can you name them? He said, certainly. That's today and tomorrow. He said, son, do you know who killed Abraham Lincoln? He said, no, sir, I don't. He said, son, I want you to leave and go home and work on that, and when you figure it out, you get back to me. The boy left and went home. And his daddy said, son, how did your interview today go at the sheriff's department? He said, I think it went real well, Daddy. He said, you do? He said, they already put me on a murder investigation. I want to ask you a question. I'm not looking to insult your intelligence, but how many of you have a computer? Some of y'all didn't tell the truth. How many of y'all have a computer? Okay? You folks that are watching online right now, I know you got one. How many of you know how to cut it on? How many of you know how much RAM you have? Gigabytes? Megabytes? Few, but the numbers go down. I was looking for a certain book. I was trying to find a book to help me to study. You know, I love to read Scripture, and when God speaks to you out of His Scripture, out of a passage, and you get that thought, then God wants you to go out and develop it and read and study and study. And I was looking for a certain book, and I looked high and low. I found it. I ordered it. It was supposed to be here on this day, and then it was 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. And finally the book came, and I was so excited, and I got it, and I read chapter one, and I was thoroughly enjoying it, and I sat down at my computer, and I got on my Bible software, and I had the book free in my Bible software for at least 5 years. It was there the whole time. Now see, here's the thing. There are a lot of things that we just don't know. But there is someone that we can know, and there is someone that we should be lifting up, magnifying, exalting in our lives and by our actions and by our words and deeds every single day. And His name is Jesus Christ. Now, I want to turn looking and thinking about this treasure in earthen vessels. And there are many. And I want to look at just one. Familiar passage, don't cut me off. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Treasure in earthen vessels. When we look at John chapter 2, we look at the very first verse. The Bible says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the servant, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worst. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Did you know that in John's gospel, in nowhere can I find that John ever named who Jesus' mother was by name? Come here a minute, I want to tell you. Her name was Mary. But John never, not one time that I can find, mentions that fact. He always calls her the mother of Jesus, or Jesus' mother. You see it even again in this passage. And here she comes. She is with Jesus and His disciples. And number one, she expressed the problem. They've been invited to a wedding. This is on the third day, I believe, of Jesus' public ministry. He's just called His 12 disciples. They've forsaken their nets. They've walked away from being tax collectors. They have forsaken all to follow him. And after 3 days, they've wound up crashing at a wedding. Say amen. Jesus ought to be invited to every wedding. I believe if Jesus was invited to more weddings, we'd have a whole lot less problems in our home. Amen. No doubt this couple, the bridegroom and his bride, had planned this wedding precisely. They had gotten engaged. He was building onto his father's house a bigger place where they could live, and he got it all ready, and she's got her dress and all the things that go with it, and they've got a guest list, and they've made the invitations, and they've registered down at Kohl's and the Walmart and all the things that you're supposed to do, and they've got all the food ready, and the caterers are there, and Jesus is there with his 12 disciples, and they've run out of wine. Wine is a picture or a symbol of joy. I dare say when we come in here tonight, when I heard this good singing, it welled up inside of me. I got pot near excited, and to be honest, if I'd have been obedient, I'd have run up and down these aisleways and went just plumb crazy because Jesus has saved my soul and has forgiven my sins and is working in my life and has promised me that one day I'm going to live with him forever in heaven along with all my loved ones that have trusted him as well. And many of you are no doubt going with me because I see the smile on your face and the twinkle in your eye when I get to talking about heaven and a man named Jesus. We know him as Savior. Say amen. Now, Jesus is at this wedding, and Jesus' mother said, they have no wine. In other words, human provisions have been depleted, insufficient. They've run out. Their plans didn't go according to the plan. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever, you planned it out, you prepared for it, everything was ready, it was going to come off just right, and things went upside down, the bottom fell out, and all the resources and everything you trusted was over. You was ruined. Preacher, you can't do that in the message. That's what happens, right, in this life. Human resources run out. And they will fail you, the arm of flesh. The best laid plans you have will go right out the window. And Jesus' mother recognized the problem. They have no wine. We're at this wedding and there's no joy. We're in our churches and there's no joy. I mean, I remember the old commercial when the gentleman got up way up early in the morning and he'd say, it's time to go make the donuts. Time. And that's about the way a lot of people are when it comes to going to church. Gotta go lead the choir. Listen, there's a young man. The wife went in there and she said, honey, she said, are you going to go to church tonight? He said, I'm not going. I went this morning, but I'm not going tonight. She said, please get ready and go with me to church tonight. He said, them people down there don't even like me. They won't shake hands with me. They don't want anything to do with me. She said, honey, please, I don't want to go by myself. Please get up and get ready and come on with me. He said, honey, give me one good reason I ought to do that. She said, well, number one, you're the pastor. You ought to see sometimes what we have to look at when we're trying to preach the gospel. See, some of you preachers ought to be saying, amen. There's no joy anymore in our churches and in our homes and our lives. Something is fundamentally wrong. And the problem is we've got our eyes on CNN and Fox News and ABC and NBC and CBS and the White House and who's in, who's out, who's up, who's down. What's going on in basketball? What's going on in football? We've got our eyes on the election. Got our eyes. Listen, you got your eyes on temporal things.
that do not make a hill of beans difference. You've got to get your eyes on Jesus. Amen? And Mary has expressed the problem. She has diagnosed, identified, and requested, sir, they have no wine. Hey, I hope somebody here say, I could use more joy. Amen? Number two, she is now enlightened of his position. She come with an honest request, and he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now, he's not being disrespectful. She is his mother. But what he's saying is, my existence did not begin with you at the manger in Bethlehem. I am God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. She is a woman, and he is God. And you and I need to identify something right now. He is not at your beckoning command. We are to serve him, and we're to, oh boy, I love the prayer tonight, brother. Humility. Praise God for it. To ask Jesus to help us. How many times has our prayer life turned into a position where we are telling him what he needs to do about it? Oh, preacher, I would never do that. Oh, really? Mary and Martha had Jesus and the disciples over to the house. And Martha, she'd sat at his feet for a while with Mary, and finally she realized the green beans are about to percolate and the cornbread's got to come out of the oven. I got to get in there and stir. You can tell I've not had supper yet. The mashed taters and the cat head biscuits are going to burn if I don't get in there. And she jumps up. She's frustrated, fluttering. She's encumbered, running to and fro, sweat running off her brow. And she looks and she sees Mary still sitting at Jesus' feet. She sees Mary, her sister, looking like she's doing nothing while she's in there having to do it all. And she goes back to Jesus where she had just been sitting so humbly at his feet, and said, bid her that she come and help me. In other words, you tell her, Lord, tell her what to. She commanded Jesus. Oh, preacher Darren, I would never do that. Let's get you frustrated just a little bit. Get you in a tight squeeze. Get you in a spot and see if real quick you don't start expressing the problem, and then you start telling him what he needs to do about it. Honey, his ways are not your ways. And his timeline is not your timeline. America, hey, we think we know what we need, but we have no idea. God is sovereignly in control of every hair on our head, every step that we make, every heartbeat of the blood that pumps through our system, and every breath we take. God is the author of it. And he called her, woman, what have I to do with thee? You are human, and I am God. King David, in all his glory, was my servant. Religions, John, I like the fact that John, it's amazing, never called her by name. Why? Because the Holy Ghost knew that one day there would be denominations springing up that believed they could have salvation through her as a mediatrix. Let me tell you something, honey. There is no salvation through Mary. Salvation is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for our sins, was buried, and on the first day of the week, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And our salvation is through Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. I think that's important. Look what he said. Mine hour is not yet come. I've just started my public ministry in the last 3 days. It's not time for right now for me to start showing my glory, and that this is up to my Father to tell me when to do it. Not up to you, not up to humans. My hour is not yet come. Thank you, Lord. You remember when he died on the cross? You know what he said? Woman, behold thy son. In other words, not saying, look at me, but look at John. Adopt this boy. and said, behold thy mother. Take her home as your own mother. He was taking care of her needs as he's not. You know what? That was his hour to die on the cross and to be our Savior. Well, she is enlightened of his position. He's not performed one miracle as of yet. And she turned around and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do. The rebuke, identifying his position and her position, getting a correct perspective, she got it right and said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Thirdly, and I'm done, we see her experiencing his power. The Bible says in verse 6, there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. What's a firkin? About 9 gallons. Those water pots were for washing dirty hands. You have I call it sanitizing stations as you come in for proper social distancing and cleansing of your hands. And you think this is something new? If you're going to a Jewish wedding, honey, when you walked in the door, they took a water pot and they made you wash your hands. Psh, right on the spot. They washed your feet because of the filth, the muck and the mire and the dust and the dirt you've walked through. You're not coming in dirty. They washed your feet. Then they used that same water to wash dishes. They've got such a crowd, they've run out of wine. They've got such a crowd that now the water pots have been washing and washing and washing. And there they sit empty. And Jesus looked and said to those servants, he said, fill the water pots, those common, ordinary, dirty, simple instruments, empty vessels, fill them with water. Okay, so easily. That water pot represents you and represents me. We are simple, dirty, ordinary vessels of earth that God created. And he said, all I want you to do is fill it up with water. Now, it makes good preaching, and it's correct to say, fill it with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Fill it with the Word of God to be cleansed. I love it. But God showed me a little something different here to share with you tonight. And I hope you're getting ready to grasp it. He says to those servants, fill them with water. And they took them in obedience. They filled them with water to the brim. Then Jesus said, now, draw out and bear it to the governor. I love our governor. I pray for him every day. And they filled those water pots, carried them over to the governor. And it's going to take some faith because they know that he's expecting wine. And they know that in it is water. And it was used for washing dirty hands and washing dirty feet and maybe a spoon or a fork or something. And by faith, they carried it over there and they drew it out and handed it to the governor. Here it comes. And God did a miracle. And he said, go call the bridegroom. Oh, we knew there'd be an executive order coming. Let's see what it's going to be. The bridegroom come and he said, yes, sir. He said, it's amazing, son. Ever met the beginning, doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus is the one that did the miracle. Jesus allowed the bridegroom to take the credit. What about that? The governor was giving the credit to the wrong man. I tell you who deserves the credit. Jesus is the bridegroom. Jesus turns the water of this world to wine. Jesus fills the ordinary man and gives us joy when there is no joy. Gives us satisfaction when this world's at an all-time low. Gives us hope when there is no hope. That is what my bridegroom has done for me. Now, Preacher Darren, I just have a little trouble. Did Jesus really turn that water into wine? Listen, Jesus would not contradict the Bible. Let me tell you what the Bible, if he did, he's a sinner. And Jesus is not a sinner. The Bible said, Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2:15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and makest him drunken. You see, here's the thing. When the governor tasted this, thinking it was wine, I believe he tasted something he had never tasted before. When I got saved, when Jesus saved me in the middle of that highway at the Balfour Baptist Church, honey, I got a hold of something that I'd never tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hey, glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Have you tasted the good wine that only Jesus Christ can give? The Bible says, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. Listen, 3 days those boys have been following him. 3 days. And he's already turned the water into wine. And the Bible says he's manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. They believed on him. Now, real quick. Moses turned the water to blood. Moses was the lawgiver. The law points out our sin and cannot save us. But the Bible says that Jesus turned the water to wine. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Imagine, if you will, that you went to the doctor and your doctor said you have cancer and it's bad. You're going to need surgery and get that out if you're going to live. Okay, Dr. Law, let's do the surgery. Dr. Law says, that's not my field. I'm not experienced in doing surgery for cancer. I'm just telling you got a problem. Yo, but Dr. Law, you've been my doctor for 54 years. It's time, sir, if we need surgery, and that's the only way I'm going to live. Let's do it. Now, let's go. Dr. Law says, I can't do it. I can't perform the surgery. I'm not experienced, not my expertise. But I have somebody that I'd like to refer you to. Okay, well, who is it, Dr. Law? He's an expert in his field. His name is Dr. Grace. Hallelujah! Get me an appointment, July 13, 1978. I met Dr. Grace, and he saved my soul and took away my sins. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Those disciples believe. And on the authority of the Word of God, there are 6 water pots that you need to fill tonight. Y'all get ready for the presentation in the sound room. There are 6 things you need to put in the water pot. Water pot number 1. I want you and me to just go ahead and realize, are y'all ready? We ought to put our sin in the water pot. Just, Preacher Danny said water. I know it does. But you know what? My life, if this earthen vessel with me, I was filled with sin. That's all that I was. A sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says then, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Hallelujah to God. You know what happens when you fill the water pot with your sins and you turn them over to Jesus? You know he'll do something with that. He has the ability to take that and pour out forgiveness and pour out salvation. Hey, thank God one night when I came to Him and gave Him my sins, He took my sins and He poured out salvation. Has He ever done that for you? One night at the church, 9:15, Wednesday night, just before Christmas. I'm the only person left after prayer meeting. I've written the Christmas play. I'm looking over the Christmas set. I'm making sure that everything is done, and I knock at the door. Thought one of my people's forgotten something. I ran down to where they were, opened the door, and it wasn't one of my people. It was a man standing there I did not recognize. I said, "Sir, can I help you?" He said, "My Suzuki Samurai broke down right in front of the church. I'm out of fuel." I said, "Oh, man, just right up the road, just right there. There's a gas station." He said, "No, I don't run on that type of gas. I run on propane." I said, "A car that runs on propane?" He said, "Yeah, I built it myself." I said, "Well, that's crazy. Well, we don't have any way to fill a propane tank at 9:15 at night, not around here." He said, "Well, I got propane tanks in my car, but the fitting that goes to the tank itself is the wrong one." And I said, "You know, they just built a Walmart spruce pine. Since I've moved over here, let's jump in the car." And we, for 15 minutes, we drove towards Walmart, and I asked him every question about how he engineered and figured out how to do that, a car running on propane. We went back there. We found the right fitting. We purchased it. We got back in the car. And I said, "Now, let me talk to you about your salvation." And I began to minister in 15 minutes with him, and he told me that he was lost. He told me that his mother had breast cancer, a return for the third time, and was given no hope, laying in Vanderbilt Hospital. To make matters worse, his best buddy run off with the boy's girlfriend. His girlfriend run out on him. His best friends run out on him. He said, "I try to lay drunk, and that won't satisfy me. I've done drugs. That won't satisfy me, so I jumped in the car just trying to get away from Nashville, Tennessee. Sir, I don't even know where I'm at. I broke down in front of your car. I don't even know. Sir, where am I?" I said, "I'll tell you right where you are. You're lost. But you've just been found. The Holy Ghost has tracked you to this very place. And right now you're having a head-on collision with a man named Jesus." And to make a long story short, he jumped out of that car with me. We went into the building. He came and knelt down at the altar. And when he did, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a pistol. And he laid it down on the altar and began to weep and cry. And I ain't gonna lie, I prayed with one eye shut and one eye open. Because I wanted to keep my eye on that pistol. I wish I'd known it was there the whole time, but I didn't, thank God. And the boy got gloriously saved. He jumped up and he said, "Preacher, I don't really hug men, but I'd like to hug you." I said, "Go ahead." We hugged each other, embraced. We wept a little bit. I told him he was a new creature. I said, "Son, let me tell you something. This world will run out on you. Human resources will run out. Our mamas and our daddies won't be around with us forever. Girlfriends are going to leave. Our friends may forsake us. Your gas is going to run out. Wine will never satisfy you. Drugs can't get you over your problem, but there's one that fits all, one that'll never run out on you. His name is Jesus." Amen. And so, hallelujah, you put your sin in there, and He pours out salvation. Next slide. Thank you so much. He pours out salvation and sweet forgiveness. The second thing you're supposed to put in there is you have some prayers that you need to put in here. Prayers that your husband cannot do for you. Prayers that your wife cannot do for you. Prayers that your mama and daddy. Prayers, and listen, I'm talking about prayers for the impossible. Prayers, right? Somebody here tonight, you have a prayer request that at this time is unanswered. I got a boy in my church right now in the hospital with a broken arm. And I can't go see him. They wouldn't even let me in. But I've asked the Holy Ghost to go. God said, "Give me your prayers. Fill the water pot with your prayers." And the Holy Ghost gets a hold of that and he pours out his answers. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God will take your prayer request and meet your need. A little girl was in New York, and her house caught on fire, and her mama was out hanging the laundry, and she heard screams, and the baby was back there, and she saw smoke billowing, and she heard neighbors screaming, and she went running back towards her house. Her house was on fire. Other houses beside her, the row houses really close, all on fire. A gas tank is blown up. She braves the elements. She goes through. She grabs that little baby. It burnt the mother's face. It burnt the mother's hands. It burnt her. I mean, terrible burns all over her body. But she wrapped that baby close. And that baby had no burns. And that baby grew up to be the one of the most beautiful young ladies you've ever seen. Was a model. She got saved, but the world started trying to allure her away from the things of God. Young people, this world wants to take you away from the things that you've been taught right here in the house of God. Let me tell you, I'm 54 years of age, and I want to tell you something. The world will lie to you. The devil will. He's an egg-sucking dog. He'll lie to you and lie to you and rob you and destroy you and defeat you. And now that beautiful young lady, she's living a life of ruin. Her mother came to where all her socialite friends were gathered, and her friend said, "Ooh, look at that hideous looking woman with scars all over her face. Who does she think she is to hang out with us?" And it was the little girl's mother that had sacrificed her everything for her to even be alive. And she went along and compromised with her friends and said, "I cannot believe that a woman of her class would try to attach herself to us." The mother heard it. And that night, the mother told the little girl, she said, "Honey, I know I embarrass you, but I've never told you where I got my scars. Why most time I try to wear gloves. Why I try to maybe try to put on a lot of mascara. But there was a fire, and I rescued you from the fire, and it left me with these scars. And though you may be ashamed of me, I do it again and again and again. And honey, I just want to tell you that I love you." And the little girl, she said, "Mama, you never told me. All these years, you never told me." And she fell to her knees, and she started kissing. She pulled the gloves off. She started kissing that mother's hands, and she said, "Mama," she said, "I've got to wear, after you've told me that I want to thank you for what you've done for me. And Mama, the things that I thought were important are not important. I'm leaving the world and leaving those friends, and Mama, I'm going to get back to the basics, get back to the way I was brought up." And listen, she married a preacher, became a pastor's wife. I'm talking about taking your prayer life and letting God have his way with your life rather than you telling him how it needs to be. Let him answer your prayers as he sees fit. Thirdly, your problems. You've got some problems. Things nobody can fix for you. Nobody can work out for you. Problems. Fill the water pot with your problems, and he'll pour out for you his solution. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Fill the water pot, fourthly, with your sorrows. I'm telling you about things that break your heart. The tears you've cried, the loss of a daughter. God help. The loss of a son. The loss of a mother or a daddy. I'm talking about things that break your heart, the sorrow that you have, and there's no comfort. It seems like God said, "Put your sorrows in the water pot, and I'll pour you out my comfort. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will give you grace. I will be there for you when nobody else is." Fifthly, fill this water pot with your needs. I'm telling you what, whatever you think that you have need of,
you go to and say, God, there's some, I have some specific needs. I don't know what on earth I'm going to do. Lord, would you please fill the water pot with needs? And he's going to pour out his supply. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. The sixth water pot needs to be filled with, and I'm talking, I believe with all my heart, as I stood there tonight talking to folks in the sound booth about putting the slides up, God spoke to my heart and said, tonight you have some people that are hearing you, young people, that they're concerned about their future. I'm going to ask you to put your future in that water pot. You see, you don't know about college. You don't know who you'll marry. Right now, you want to get married. You want to have a family. And man, it seems like the prospects are few and slim, and you're about ready just to grab any old piece of trash that goes riding by. Wait on God. Wait on God to send him, young lady. Wait on God to send her, son. Wait on God. Your future for college, your future for marriage. I'm talking about somebody, you're thinking about a job. God says if you'll take your future and put it in this water pot, fill it to the brim, I'm going to pour you out my eternity. My daddy told me a long time ago, and I know he tells y'all probably once a week, long time ago he took a piece of paper, a blank piece, signed his name at the bottom, said, God, you fill in the blanks. I trust you with my future. You know, it'd be good if America could tonight trust God Almighty with her future. God would pour us out such blessings in our nation if we'd but turn to him unashamed. Friend, I want you to stand to your feet tonight. Somebody come to the pen. I believe there's somebody tonight. God spoke to you tonight. I've got more, but God said, quit. I quit. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. If he tells you there's some sin, I've identified something, a grudge, a hardship, a difficulty, whatever it is, put it in there. Let him pour out forgiveness. Tonight, if you've got a prayer request, put it in there. Let him pour out his answer. I'd rather have his answer as anything you could ever manufacture for me. Pour in your problems. Put in your needs. Put in your future. Trust him tonight. Your head's bowed. There's some things in my own life that God showed me to put in this water pot. And I did it. And I'm going to ask you tonight, would you come and say, oh God, right now, I bring to you my prayer request. I bring to you my problem. I bring to you my future, my children, our church. God, I give our future. Put it this way. It's treasure in an earthen vessel. And God wants to pour out such a blessing. If you would but come and give to him, fill the water pot to the brim with your needs. Oh, he has a work to do tonight. He's wanting to do it just for you. Anybody else? God's still moving, I believe. God bless you. Folks still coming. There may be somebody you're watching online. I want you to find you a quiet place down by the dining room table, over by the sofa, there beside the bed. Would you just bow your head, bow your heart? Just tell him tonight, Lord, I need you. Tell him and lay out your request. Don't command him what to do. Ask him for his will to be done in your life. Father, tonight, God, in your house, there are needs. Father, I believe there's someone still standing in this congregation. Lord, I don't know who it is. Maybe they just need to slip up their hand. Is there somebody here? You need to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Darren, I can't come down there, but I'm going to ask you, would you pray? I'm not going to call you up or embarrass you. Would you pray for me about a need in my life? I want you to help me put it in the water pot. Would you pray with me? Somebody here. God bless you. God bless you. I got down to pray and the Holy Ghost said, get back up. Anybody else? You put it up right back down. I promise you. Trust me. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, God sees that. Father, tonight, Lord, we're trying to be obedient to your voice. And folk there, Father, there are folk at home, folk still standing, folk that are bowed in the aisleway in the altars here at the church. God, they've heard your message. Treasure in earthen vessels, that's the excellency of the power, may be of God and not of us. It's not anything we can do, Lord. Father, we fill the water pot with our sin, and you do the work of forgiveness and salvation. We give you our problems, our needs, our sorrows. We give you our future. God, I'm praying tonight, Lord, for whoever this young person is, and there may be more than one, God, they're burdened about their future at college, what future plans. They don't know what, their hands right now, their shoulders are just shrugging. I just don't know. Will I get married? Will I go to school? What will I do? I'll just trust Jesus. God, they're putting that tonight. Their future husbands in that water pot. Their future wives in that water pot. God, their grandchildren is in that water pot right now. And God, we're going to trust you with the results. Lord, thank you for hearing us tonight. God, would you comfort and supply each and every need? And thank you, Father, for the treasure that you are the one in earthen vessels. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor, you come.